I know things you never see. You never see someone taking a shit while running at full speed.
Come on, Key, get rid of some of them turds in the shit box.
Welcome to the Bathroom Break Podcast with me, Rab himself. Welcome to the Bathroom Break Podcast. I'm your host, Rab himself, and today I have an extra special guest. It is Vern Zaborowski, and he is the, I will say, original bassist for CKY, but I don't know if it's original at this point. There was a guy, Ryan, before you, then there's some guys after you and all that, but the bassist from CKY, Vern.
How's it going, Chris?
Yeah, what's up, brother?
I'm doing real good, Chris.
Dude, it's so fucking good to see you.
And you too, bro.
You don't look like you've gotten older at all. You just stayed the same as, like, what you know, like, since I've seen you probably, I don't know what it's been, maybe shit, 6, 7, 8 years. I don't even know.
Yeah. But, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. But you look good, and
thanks, buddy. You too.
And yeah, and it's awesome to see you. And just thinking a little bit about, I mean, we were chatting a little bit, but just thinking about some of the old stories. Because I toured with you guys a lot, and I mean, you were in the band. What years were you in the band?
Like 2000 to 2004, I think.
Okay, yeah. And I feel like that's like the best years.
It was so much fun. Like yeah. Just seeing you right now, all these memories of stories are coming back.
And oh, man.
The best part of those years is when you guys were there.
Oh.
Because it wasn't just, you know, there'd be sometimes we're playing as a band.
Yeah.
But when you guys showed up, it was a totally different story. And then everybody was part of it. Like, you'd be doing stuff. Like, Dunn would be like, yo, kick me in the nuts.
Yeah, yeah.
The band would be doing stuff. And it would just excite people to do different things. And those were like the best times,
dude. I look back on those years with very fond memories. Just incredible. Like, I mean, I got to live the life of a rock star, and I can't play an instrument.
It was amazing.
Yeah, so that's pretty rad. And I mean, we toured all over the world together. I was with you all over, you know, in Europe and all over the U.S. and Canada and wherever. And dude, so many crazy stories. You mentioned one. You go, oh hey, I met my lady. It was a while back at the CKY show in Santa Rosa, and I'm like, oh, I remember that show because it was like a warm up show or something, and there was a skate demo thing happening.
It was like near like a winery or something like that. Yeah. It was in a hangar. It was the weirdest show.
So people were like wanting to skate, but then they're wanting to hear the band, and so. Like at some points there would be like a crowd around the stage, and then at some points there would be people like out off skating and doing that. And I just remember being so liquored up that like I thought it would be I thought it would be a great idea to stage dive. And I feel like I just remember you because you have awesome stage presence.
Oh,
so like you're fucking rocking out hard and I'm like getting psyched on you going, I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, Vern's into it. Fuck. And I just run and jump and then I land in the middle of nothing and slam onto the cement and like no one caught me. And it fucking hurt. And I remember I did it a couple times because I think I was a little drunk and just had that beer courage.
Yeah, maybe just a little bit.
Yeah.
I didn't even remember that until you told me. I'm like, he stage dived off a stage?
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that are a little cloudy back in those years.
It was funny because when you said, like, oh, the memories are coming up, I'm like, all right, well, I have memories of you. You have memories of me, but we probably don't have memories of our own self and what we were doing.
Right?
You know? I mean, I remember touring around Europe with you in that it was like this little van thing that like they got.
It was a Sprinter van.
Yeah,
it was
like
the tall top to it.
Yep.
And there was like like a couple different like spots that you could sleep in. And then we had like a drive. It was so weird.
Dude, it was awesome. But you guys played that club. Was it in Hamburg that the Beatles like, or was it in Cologne or Hamburg?
No, it was Hamburg. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That was really cool.
Yeah.
The Beatles first played or something.
Yeah. They were like, that's like kind of where they like, you know, got their chops. They played like at that club for like a year or something together to really like form the Beatles.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a, man,
and that was rad to be at that.
Cool.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Well, what happened from that? I remember from that club, when we left, like, we were, like, you know, obviously, we were living the life of rock stars and drinking hard and other things and whatever. And so I remember there being this girl from Turkey that I was all psyched on. So I tried to, like, I went back to her room, but then it was like, all right, we're going, we're getting on the road. We got to go and we got to take off and go to the next show. And I was super drunk. And somehow I leaned out of the window of the Sprinter van and I was pissing. And like, I guess my passport was in my pocket and it must have flown out of my pocket because I couldn't remember. I was trying to piece back, like, how did I lose my passport? But
it's probably the pissing out the
window. Yeah, I'm like hanging my dick out the window, just like thrusting, and there's just piss leaking all down the van. And I had like these sweatpants on because I was trying to sleep or something, whatever, and lost my passport. And I remember we went to a couple places, but then when we got to Amsterdam is when I finally figured out that we lost, right, that I had lost the passport. And we took a bunch of mushrooms, and then
the last time I did mushrooms was with you, and that was an amazing night, because we were there, because Troy Miller and Viva La Bam were filming there, so everybody else came to meet us.
Yeah.
And we ate mushrooms, and I remember you and I going into some weird restaurant, and we're sitting down, and there's like kids in there, but there's girls on the table like dancing like this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we're like, what the fuck? Let's get out of here. And we got the hell out of there.
Yeah.
And then
it was so weird. I remember like just seeing like, what is happening? I remember like a couple of the girls had like these boots that looked like Clydesdale horses.
Yeah.
Something. And I was like, what? And then you saw the kids and you're like, wait, these worlds shouldn't be colliding right now, but they are. It's like a stripper and a little kid, right, and then we're on mushrooms, and then you're going, is this really real, or what's happening?
And you're like, I don't know.
Let's get the hell
out
of here.
Let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
Then, like, I got out. I went back to the room, and I couldn't do anything. Couldn't take my shoes off. Couldn't do any. I was like, I'm done. Done. Can't function.
Yeah.
And I get a call from, like, the manager, and she's like, hey, where are you? Like, I'm in the room, stuck here. She's like, you might want to come over. Jess Margera just did mushrooms. And I was like, come and pick me up. I'm going. And I remember like, okay, I'm going to get it together. We're all good.
Yeah.
And we get to the room. I walk in. Everybody's looking at me, but there's no Jess. I'm like, where the hell's Jess? And everybody's just kind of staring like this. And he comes coming out of the closet and he goes, and I start cracking up. And they're just looking straight faced like, hey, he's been doing this for about 20 minutes.
Yeah. You're like, it's really old to us. And you're like, well, I'm on mushrooms too, so everything's hilarious.
For a guy that didn't do anything, I was like, oh my God, this is the best time ever. Like, Jess on mushrooms, let's do it.
I know, it's funny because, it was at that time. That was the first time he ever did it.
Yeah.
And
he was like, I love mushrooms.
Yeah. And we were a little more veterans at that point, I think, with those other things. But Jess was like a beer drinker, that kind of guy.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, he tried that, and that was fun and crazy. And
so
I had lost my passport on the way to Amsterdam. Yeah. You guys take off, Viva La Bam takes off, and I'm there by myself, like, with passport. And I mean, we literally just had like a couple weeks straight of just bender, you know, like drinking hard every night, whatever else was coming up. Because when you're on the road, like, random strangers are offering you this and this and this and this, and you're like, hey, why not? Why not? Why not? And then, you know, like, I always talk about that. People go, Rob, I didn't realize you were that bad. I'm like, dude, I was doing every drug there was offered to me on the road, and it was always offered. You know, it was like, hey, you want some of this? And I'm like snorting this, popping a pill, doing this. So when we got to Amsterdam, it was like, it probably the end of a 2-week run or something, and it was like,
I think it was right at the end of that.
Yeah, and it was like, oh man, I was like coming down, and you guys left, Viva La Bam film crew left, and Ryan gave me enough money to get a hotel room for a couple nights and like get some weed to try to like medicate the hurt of all the drugs I was coming off of. And I remember like being like so psyched that he helped me out like that, because I lost my wallet, I lost everything, like, and so then I had to go to the embassy in Amsterdam with no identification.
How did just you get out of there?
And dude, I wait in line at the embassy and I'm trying to like figure out like, oh man, like how the hell, what am I even going to show them? You know? Yeah. So finally I wait in line for a while. I get into the building. When I get into the building, they call like to my mom, because I try to give them my mom's number.
Okay.
And I don't know what time of night it was when they're calling my mom. They're like, your son is here in Amsterdam. He's lost all of his identification. All this. And this is the kind of calls my mom would get, you know, just, like, you know, every other night. And so she had to fax over like a copy of my birth certificate and my like driver's license, like photocopy and things like that, and fax right. it over to them. And then they got the information, and then I had to go back to the room, wait for that to happen, wait for that to process. Then, like, the next morning, I got to come over and try and get my photo and get the expedited passport. Dude. And
what a nightmare.
I mean, yeah, and you know, coming off of a bunch of coke and whatever, you're like, I'm all miserable, like, just fucking kill myself, you know, and I remember so. I go in and like then they said that it wasn't ready yet, so I was gonna have to come back, and I just was through the ringer, and I walk out, and as I walk out, this homeless guy in Amsterdam goes, hey man, like you know, you have some change or whatever, like, you know, guilders or whatever those coins were. And I like flipped out because I was like, I don't have shit. I was like, I don't fucking have shit, you know, like, because I just like I had it.
Yeah.
And I remember losing my shit on this homeless guy, acting like I didn't have shit when I had friends that would take care of me and do this. And he just looks at me and goes, hey man, don't worry, dude, it'll all work out. And I was like, oh fuck, sorry man, like that I flipped out on this homeless guy. And he talked me off the ledge and gave me like you know, like life advice to just chill out and realize it was all gonna work out. And I walked away from that being like, damn, that dude isn't even sweating and he's like living on the streets and doing it. And I'm, my fucking entitled ass is just, you know, feeling like, oh, poor me. I have to wait here for a day and do it. And like, it really put things into perspective right. for me. And it was crazy. I'm like, I just learned this insane life lesson from this homeless guy in Amsterdam while I was trying to get this passport. Eventually I got the passport and then I ended up getting home. But
that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, yeah, but it was crazy how that all went down, you know?
Prophets are hidden everywhere.
Man. yeah that's the truth, man. Yeah. For real, that's the truth. But yeah, dude, so many fun stories throughout the years of touring, and another one we talked about a little bit was Skatetopia.
Oh my god. I remember we came from, I think we were flying out from LA where we were living, like Costa Mesa and stuff, flew out to Philly, and we did like a red eye. We were so tired. Got there, like, bam, or somebody picked us up. And I remember getting, like, we just signed to Island. It was pretty close to when we signed to Island, and they gave us, like, some camera or something. And I got something else, and I put it in my bag and checked it. And then when I got out, it was gone. I was like, what the hell? Really? Like, somebody stole my shit? So I was kind of in a bad mood, and it, like, it was early in the morning. And then we get there, like, okay, we're going to Skatetopia. It's, like, 10-hour drive out to Ohio. You're going in that, and it's a giant Penske truck. It was like, we're all going in the back of that. And we remember we put like the inflatable couches. There was a piss bucket in the corner.
Yeah.
And it was,
dude, it was so good because there was a couch, like a regular couch, an inflatable couch, an inflatable bed,
yeah,
and like one of those bubble mattress things. And I just remember, like, because I mean, I literally feel like I was drunk all day, every day for a long time. And I was probably drunk already when you got there. But like, as we started to go, it's like, wait, we're all getting in the back of this? And
right.
and fucking Hannah, Mark Hannah, Fana baby, he was going to drive it.
Yep.
And then we're getting in the back, and we're going to ride in the back of this fucking moving truck.
Yeah.
You know, how stupid that was. I don't know.
Well, like, it was pretty stupid, but you know, it was pretty smart when we were like, well, how the hell are we going to breathe? And then Bam gets that pickaxe and he pops a hole in the side. Remember, he's like, there you go. Now we can breathe. We're like, okay, that makes sense. Let's carve it in.
Yeah.
And it was the whole band. It was you, Bam, Dunn.
Mm-hmm. Brandon and Rake Yeah, it was.
How
it was like
hell
the
were we all in there.
That trip was like, because there's a photo from that trip with all of us.
I have a bunch of those. Oh, yeah, man. And those are some of the funniest. Was like,
yeah.
Bam and Ryan, like, with their pants down, pretending like they were just having sex with each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's so good.
It's such a classic trip with, like, the whole core group of everybody that was together. And
that's one of my favorite photos that's, like, around. It's, like, a black and white photo of all of us there.
Yeah.
I think that's my favorite photo of all of us. It just culminates our journey as, like, friends doing what we were doing and...
Yeah.
Every time I see that, I just get really nostalgic. Goes, that was such a good time.
Dude, hell yeah.
But it was also pretty miserable once we got there.
Yeah, it really was. Well, it was funny because I remember, so on the side of the truck, there was like these wood slats that like you could like kind of clip, you know, like whatever, those ratchet strap things, you could clip that to it. But I was already drunk and climbing up the side of it.
Yeah,
and
then, here it comes.
Doing the whole, Spidey! I was trying to be Spider-Man, drunk, climbing up and just annoying the shit out of everybody. I was very good at annoying people.
I loved it, man. It was so, the Spidey call, still. We could do that forever.
Spidey! dude, we're drunk, we're climbing up, we're upside down, then like Hannah's hitting the brakes, we're going flying, and then like, you know, it was just ridiculous. You're pissing on the piss bucket's like swashing around,
sliding from side to side on the truck.
Like, uh-oh, it's gonna spill. And then there's enough booze, you know, to fucking kill a village in the back of that, and we just kept drinking and drinking and we're partying and hanging out, and I feel like we pretty much made that the back of that truck like this cool little like drug den, you know.
Awesome.
Like, we're sitting there smoking pipes and hanging and just living like that and doing whatever. But what I really remember is I got so drunk that I needed to pass out. I passed out on the bubble mattress while you guys are still partying, hanging out, doing your thing, and I pissed the bed on the bubble mattress, pee all over it.
Yep.
And like what I briefly remember is like we're stopped, right? And like I'm kind of like sort of rustling around, like sort of waking up, sort of like still asleep. And Hannah being like, yo, Rab, get up. Like, I'm going to sleep now. Like, I just drove for like 8 hours through the night or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to sleep now. And I was like, fuck off, you know, like, and he's like, what the hell? I was so drunk. And as he gets me up out of the bed, he notices, like, dude, it's soaking wet. Like, what? And like, I had pissed all over the whole.
Everywhere, yeah.
So there's piss all over everything, and Hannah can't sleep because he, like, and he just drove all through the night, but he can't sleep because there's piss all over everything.
Poor Hannah. And do you remember when we got there, like, your pants were so pissed you had to use your shirt for a fucking diaper, and you walked around with a shirt around your face? I have pictures of that, too.
Oh, dude, I would love to see
it's
that.
It's like some weird purple bus, and you're standing in front of it with that shirt around.
Yeah, fuck, yeah. Awesome. Yeah, because I didn't have any other pants.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way that we traveled. Like, nobody thought about, like, hey, let's put a bag together with some clothes. It was like, fuck out of here. We're going.
Hell
you know,
no.
We'll figure it out. We'll stop by Walmart or something. And, yeah, I didn't have any pants, so I took the shirt and made it into a diaper. And
and you're fucking MacGyver over there.
Yeah, there's, like, a hole and you could see my asshole, like, through the neck hole, you know?
It was a good look for you.
Yeah,
it really was.
It really was. But, dude, I mean, that was, God, that was such a fun time and crazy and you think back like at this point in our life, like now, like, you know, you live a mellower life, I live a mellower life,
right.
Like to think back on how insane we were at that point is just wild.
It was pretty insane. Like when we got there, those dudes were just firing those large potato cannons at everybody and just dodging potatoes and there was cars you could catch on fire and they were throwing like shotgun shells and shit in there and catching them on fire. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, just random shotgun shells are just exploding in the cars. They're lighting them on fire. The potato guns are shooting at the truck that we're pulling up in. And we're pulling this big moving truck up into this like old like wooded area where it's like, I mean, there's an open area, but it's like through this crazy trail to get up there. And
oh man, it was
old
fucking,
skate ramps, and
it was a cool fucking hellion spot. I was miserable when we were there, and I was like, get me out of here. I remember that, but thinking back on it now, I was like, that was fucking amazing.
Yeah, it was rad.
Yeah,
it was like
a rad ass
experience.
Place.
Yeah, and just to think that that goes, I wonder if that still goes on. Like,
yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, Skatetopia. That was fucked.
If that dude still lives there, I'm sure it does.
Yeah, and I remember there was some situation where, you know, we're driving around in the cars. It's like crazy crash up derby, and then it's like lighting them on fire and all this, and then at some point somebody pissed somebody off, and we had to like hurry up and get out of there.
Oh.
And like maybe it was like the middle of the night or whatever it was.
I don't know what the fuck happened.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
It was some skater dude that was drunk, and he was like angry at Bam or something because he was like,
all right,
you took my style, and then like flipping out, and he's like, yeah, all right, well, you're all fucked up on drugs and drunk right now. So he's trying, and then they're threatening
right,
shit,
yeah.
And then we ended up like getting out of there, and it was hell. Because you like in the middle of the day when we pulled up, it was cars on fire, potato guns, shotgun shells. It was fucking insane in the middle of the day. Add more liquor, more drugs as the night progressed, and it was like, holy fuck.
It went downhill pretty quick.
Yeah. I don't know how long we actually stayed there. Maybe like overnight once, and then the second night was like, that was enough.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even remember. I remember playing there, and we were like around like the full bowl where everybody was skating in, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that was rad. I mean, because, yeah, there was all types of different old ramps and some gnarly dudes that were just fucking shredding. And
it's
like
pretty rad.
I remember one dude just skating, like, barefoot and fucking ripping, though, you know?
Yeah.
Like, goddamn, how the hell, you know, are they doing that? And but, yeah, man, that's another one of those wild times.
Wow. Just like thinking back, just looking at you, I'm like, oh my God, we've experienced so many things together.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. So how, I wanted to hear like kind of your musical journey a little bit. Like, you know, like how did you, cause you're originally from like Bucks County area.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
I grew up in Bucks County.
And like, so how did you get involved in the band? Like, did you have other bands first? I'd love to hear about that. And then,
Well, I mean, I started like playing like music when I was a kid, like saxophone and shit like that. And then I actually played guitar.
Okay.
Just kind of like tinkering around with it. I think my grandfather had like an acoustic guitar, and I kind of picked it up, and I really liked it when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And then in high school, I was in a band called Gravel Blind, and we played one like Battle of the Bands in our school cafeteria.
Yeah.
And it was awful. Like, it wasn't very good. It was with one of the my buddy Dave, who played in Violent Society. Remember Violent Society?
Yeah.
And then it was didn't go anywhere. And I think I wasn't really playing music. Gravel Blind, I think, is what
Gravel
it was called.
Blind.
Yeah. So then I was still kind of like playing saxophone and shit, like doing the marching band nerdy stuff. And I remember my buddy wanted to play drums, and he's like, hey, can you get a bass? And my friend Fred had a bass. I was like, yeah, I'll borrow it. I'll play sax. Somebody can play bass. And then nothing happened with it. And this bass was just sitting in our basement in the corner. And I remember one day just going, I'm going to pick it up. And it just felt pretty natural to me. So I was just like, this is fun. A friend of mine, Alex, we were in a band together with his brother called Senator Joe, and that was like the first real band I was in. It was like a little punk rock band.
Hell yeah.
Alex, Phil, and originally this dude Brian Stefanko, and then became Kevin Fassett. And then that was like the first band I ever toured with and played bass, and I didn't really know how to play bass. I knew how to play guitar and just kind of like went around, and it was cool. And I remember this one little kid playing at like a YMCA in Levittown. He's like, you are a really good bass player. It's like, I don't know how to play bass, dude.
You're like, no, I'm not. I'm just up here doing it.
So
that's really cool.
Like, I was just kind of playing like music throughout, you know, Bucks County with my friends. I was in, had a bunch of different bands, but that was like the main one. And then I was playing in a band called Earl Nasty and the Polyester Freak Show, which is like a funk band.
Hell yeah.
With my friend Ryan and Matt Buffer.
Yeah,
and, all these dudes, and then we were also I did like a bunch of like instrumental bands with my friends that I really liked that we never did anything with.
Yeah,
one called Marshall Carble, and we made a tape that didn't go anywhere. It was we were just messed up, made it, we call the grape juice tapes because it sounds like so, it's so shitty. We spilled something on the tapes, like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was just, it was a fucking cool time. And then, yeah, and all that just kind of culminated to being in the right place at the right time with CKY. Like, I remember my friend, we were doing art together, and she was like, hey, weird question, do you want to go on the Warped Tour in 2 weeks? I said, what?
Yeah, yeah.
With who? She's like, oh, this band CKY. It's like, this guy I date that I don't tell anybody about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, they need a bass player. So kind of met Chad at, I was playing with this other band, don't remember the name of it, with my friend Lance, and at this bar called Kenny's Bar, one of my favorite bars in Pennsylvania when we were growing up. And Chad came out and yeah, he saw me play. He's like, you're the best thing in that thing. You want to play? And like, I like Ween, I like weed, and I like Mr. Bungle. And he's like, yeah, I like all those things too.
Yeah. Sweet. Well, that's a perfect connection, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, the funny thing is, that was cool. And then Chad called a couple days later and he said, yeah, I don't think it's going to work out. And I said, why?
Wait, you played a show?
No, I didn't play a show.
Oh, you just talked to him.
He came and saw us play at that bar.
Okay.
And then he called me back, said, I don't think it's going to work out. I was like, why? He's like, well, I told the singer what you look like, and he had long hair, and he said he didn't want to try out. I said, oh, that sucks.
Wait, what? Because what you look like?
Yeah. Apparently that's what happened. I don't know. That's,
wait, what did you look like then?
Oh, I had fucking hellion. I had long hair. And okay. I just looked like I had like crazy like polyester pants on. I looked crazy, and I was like, okay.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
I
was like, whatever, man. No problem, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, okay, cool. And yeah, then we actually played a benefit show together, coincidentally. This is, and I was playing with that band that Chad saw, and CKY played. It was like the three of them for a friend of ours, and I was on mushrooms, dude. And I remember, I guess, Darren and I had crossed paths, and I must have said something to him like, oh, you're the guy that did, like, I don't know what I said. I don't know what came out of my mouth, but the next day I got a call. I was like, yeah, man, we're going to come on over and yeah, try you out. I was like, cool, whatever.
Oh, I thought, so did you called him out on being like, you're the guy
I have no idea what I said.
Yeah.
But whatever it was, it worked.
Yeah, yeah. And then all of a sudden you got it. So then what? Where did you, like, did you, they tried you out with a show?
They came to my house. I was living in Roxborough with,
oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah, a bunch of my friends, and yeah, like Joe Gennaro from Dead Milkmen, Joe Jack,
yeah,
Talcum.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And they came over, and I remember, like, I don't know if you know Joe, he's the little sweetest guy.
Yeah.
I remember him, like, they knocked on the door, and he's like, Vern, the Camp Kill Yourselves are here. So they came in, and I kind of just, like,
the
learned
Camp
it.
Kill Yourselves are here.
Oh, it's the best. It was the best. And then, yeah, just, I kind of learned it all, like, the night before or something like that, just kind of by ear, and, yeah.
Damn. Yeah.
That was it.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was cool, man.
Yeah, and then so then you went on the Warped Tour?
Yeah, like 2000, July, yeah.
Because I remember that Warped Tour, and then I it's all kind of hazy a little for me too, because I was like, yeah, just, like, I was in college, but coming back, filming, like, we had filmed a bunch of stuff.
Right.
And then CKY2K was out, and it was, like, kind of getting known, but yeah, I was at school trying to do college, and then you got into the band, and, like, so I kind of, it all is, like, what, when did, how did this go, how did that go, and it's cool to hear it, you know.
It was so weird. So it was, like, less than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then we were driving to Minneapolis, to where we were coming from, Westchester. Remember meeting those guys there, and it's like when Phil and Ape still had the house near the shit tank.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh my God, yeah, that house, dude! I was talking about that with Jess, and Darren too, because just the smell of that fucking house in the summertime.
It's so crazy.
It's so sick. Just a full blown yeah, shit plant right across the street.
It was gross.
Just like rolling shit over yeah, the grates of that. Like, you could just see like the brown shit water every time
man,
you went over, and it's
so
like,
gross, dude.
Yeah.
I remember we were all driving. This is funny. We were all driving out to Minnesota. Jess is driving. He's speeding, trying to get us there in time.
Lead foot like hell, dude.
We get pulled over. The cop goes, hey, Any of you guys got a credit card? Before he says anything, like, no. He's like, well, you were doing 90 and a 60, and the courts aren't open yet, so either you guys have a credit card and you can pay me right here, or your buddy's going to jail until the court's open. And we're all like, oh, shit. I was the only one in the car that had a credit card. Oh, I didn't even sweet. Play my first show. I was like, I got it.
Yeah. Damn, and so you're, like, having to pay for the band.
Yeah, that's yeah, I was like, okay. Like, what are we going to do? I'm not going to let this dude go to jail. Hell no.
Dude, that's crazy. Yeah. So, oh, man. So you already had to, like, foot a bill on the first day out.
Yeah.
Well, it was funny because Jess always drove that old-ass Cadillac.
Yeah.
It was like Phil had that car, and then he fixed it up, got it painted. So he, like, almost – I feel like he just had to be lead foot because it's this old-ass car. You had to slam on the gas for it to even get moving a little. And then, like, you put him in any other car, and it's like, dude, slow the fuck down.
Right.
You know?
But yes.
Yeah, yeah. But dude, that's funny. So okay, so you get a ticket right off the bat, and that was Minnesota was like the first show.
Yeah, that was the first one, and I mean, it blew my mind. I didn't really see any of this coming, and it was just like, holy crap! Like Green Day was there, and like, you know, we were hanging with like everybody. It was blowing my mind. It was right before my birthday too, so I was on the Warped Tour somewhere like on my birthday, and just hanging out with like the Hot Water Music dudes, like Chuck and like the Boston's and all these. Like, it was really amazing. It was a really cool time, and you know, all the Volcom guys. It was just, they were like family, and it was amazing, man. I really miss those days.
Yeah. But, no, that's really cool. And so that first show, like you were saying, you just kind of learned it by ear, and then you just get up there. And I always find that so fascinating when musicians can kind of do that. I had a buddy that's a drummer. He's like, hey, come out and check out my band. He's like, I haven't played with them yet. I don't know what we're playing tonight. And he just is like figuring it out by ear, figuring out the timing and doing that. And I just find that to be so cool that you guys, that you can do that. Like in, you know, in the rhythm section, basically, like to be able to like find the rhythm of it and be in a bassist, like that's crazy to me that you could just by ear kind of learn that quickly and get up there. So like, how did that first show go?
It was really fun. I remember like, I think I remember like stage diving or something like that. Like it was really, there wasn't a lot of people in front of us, but it was enough to make it really fun. And it was just fun. It, like,
yeah,
for music, for me, I don't think about it. I just like did it and I just had fun, and that's what I was into, and that's how I made it happen. And it was cool, man. I just let go. I didn't care what I looked like. I was just like, I am doing this.
And yeah. Well, that's what I always loved about you. Like I said, you had an incredible stage presence, and that core group of CKY with you, Chad, Darren, and Jess, to me, like, it was so fun to be a part of that and be around that and be traveling with you guys and experiencing that, because you're over there just fucking rocking. And I always remember, like, you know, like I'll come out and like drink a beer on the stage and then jump into the crowd or whatever. But
so
just,
awesome.
You had like just such good, like, fuck yeah, like you're just rocking hard. And Chad's fucking jumping off of the drum riser, and and then, like, you know, and Darren's just, you know, fucking killing it on vocals, and Jess is sweating his ass off just beating the shit out of the drums, and like just the energy that you guys had.
We had a fun thing going on. Yeah,
it was very, very infectious. Like I knew for me, like I was your friends.
Yeah.
But like you guys were all my friends, but like I was a big fan as well. So I got to be a part of that and like just experience that, and every night going out with you guys and doing that, and was like, damn, here comes this fucking energy again. And it really gets the crowd fucking excited, and I just feel lucky to have been a part of that and got to just kind of tag along and be the part-time rock star.
I love when you got excited too, because I see that bottle just going.
It was amazing. It was impossible not to too, with when the way you guys fucking rock, like even if I was like, oh man, I'm feeling a little hungover today. Like the minute it starts, like that all went out the window, and you're just like, "Fuck yeah!" Going again and jumping off of a balcony, or jumping off of the speakers or whatever. And dude, it's so fun. So okay, so that's your first tour, and you go through Warped Tour, and at the time you guys were signed by Volcom. So so Volcom was like your label,
which was pretty crazy too, because it was a label that was like a clothing company,
right?
I was like, what?
Yeah, so what did they really know about music, or did they allow you guys to kind of have freedom in that way?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it was like Ryan Emigard and all those awesome dudes, and you know, they were all athletes too, so they were just like, yeah, we have this venue, let's do music. Like, I like playing music besides this, and let's do it. And then it was organic, it was cool.
Yeah.
And it was just really fun. I mean, we'd just drive around in that van.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they had the Volcom RV, and they set up their own stage. But we were helping set up every day. It was cool, man. Like, yeah, those guys are great. Like, those were just really good times.
Yeah. Cool. And then what is it? Maybe a couple years later is when you guys went over to Island, Def Jam?
Yeah. It was like right before, because when I joined, it was like in the beginning of where like the Jackass thing just took off.
Yeah.
And like nobody saw that coming.
Right.
None of us did. And we were like, oh, crap.
I know. I always hear people go like, oh, what'd you put videos on YouTube? And then that's what Jackass is like. There was no YouTube. There was no like internet really.
Yeah.
It was this underground thing. We filmed stupid stuff, and who could have ever known that it would go like
huge the way
like
it
that.
Did, yeah. Right?
And then, so you guys get signed by Island, and that's a huge label at that point. And then, and that's when you did IDR.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
So then the tours must have started getting bigger and
they were amazing. Like the Deftones asked us to come on tour with them. That terrible Godsmack Deftones tour.
Oh yeah. I remember coming out for some and then they're like, you being like, somebody, I think Jess was like, okay, well here's Godsmack, like here's their bus and then here's the lead singer guy's bus because he doesn't want to be with the other or something. And I was like, that was like the first time that I realized like, damn, okay, this tour life. Because, like, we were young. Like, I mean, you guys are maybe a couple years older than me, but I was young. I was early 20s, right. And you were maybe mid-20s. And it was like, oh, man, like, we were at the perfect time in life to be able to do that and experience that. And then with them, I kind of saw, like, oh, they're a little older. And then, like, I guess when you get to that point, it's like a job. Where ours never, like, it never felt like a job at that point in time.
No.
It was just like, fuck, we're doing this. This is what we get to do. And we're traveling all around and then doing live Jackass shows too, like on stage at like Lollapalooza and doing those things. And then going with CKY and then Jackass is happening and then Viva La Band. And all that stuff just kind of naturally was happening. And I think like that was what was so fun about it. It didn't feel like a job.
Yeah. It was just us enjoying life. It was like a natural progression of what was going on, and it blew my mind every day. I was like, what are we doing?
yeah. Like, just feel so lucky.
Like, we're hanging out with the Deftones, and like, we just got kicked off a tour from Godsmack. that was the first tour I ever got kicked off of.
Yeah.
I was like, this is awesome.
That's funny. You got kicked off of that tour. So what was it? God. Just some random nonsense?
It was a thing where it was a co-headlining tour between Deftones and Godsmack. And Deftones reached out to us like, hey, you guys want to come with us? And they're like the best people.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, they're right.
It was just
supposed
to be the three of us, I think. And then all of a sudden they're like, the Godsmack guy's like, yeah, there's some shows you guys can't play on because we're doing a favor for Fred Durst. So Puddle of Mud's opening. So when those, you can only do three bands, you guys can't play. We said, what?
yeah.
So the Deftones were cool enough to be like, hey, we're really sorry. We didn't know this was going to happen. We do like a Weezer cover. Come on up. We'll play a song during our set. So we played during their set, which was amazing.
Yeah.
And they didn't have to do that, but they're like the coolest people. So they let us do that. And then it just got worse. And I remember they had the they had the laminate. So the it was a dual laminate. Deftones had a cool like eagle on one, and then Godsmack, it was them like looking like this.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's the dumbest picture. We had CKY stickers that we just got from Island, and they were just the round one with the Aussie logo. So I put it on their face. And then like dominoes, everybody in the band, Jess, Darren, and the whole crew started putting those stickers on. And it got down and they knew it and they were like, what's up with your badge? I was like, what? Oh, what's up with the pass? The sticker. I don't know, man. It's just a sticker. I had to put it somewhere. Put it
what's up with your ego?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they didn't like that. They didn't like us. And I remember, like, we were all, like, sneaking by the dude's door when he was, like, warming up. And he was going, la, 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 la. We were just laughing with the camera. He walked out. We're like, la, 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 la.
Dude, that's hilarious. Yeah,
and then I guess we played, like, we were playing somewhere. We're like, fuck it, let's just play. And then they were pulling out our power. Deftones were pulling it, putting it back in. And they just kicked us off the tour.
Yeah.
Like, it
they
was
just over it,
was, it. Yeah, they were yeah. just over it. But
yeah, but it's funny.
It's a good story.
All ego bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it is a good story. And that yeah. makes it fun. And I think that's the part of you guys that, like, you're not a punk band, but there is a bit of that to you. You know?
Yeah.
Like, and especially, like, you and Chad. And, like, there's a bit of, like, go fuck yourself, you know? And
didn't really give a shit.
Yeah, and that's like, I feel like that attitude is so needed, and especially at that time, too, in your life. Like, most of us are that way. And that was part of the CKY crew, the Jackass stuff. Like, all of it was, like, a bit of that mentality of, like, you know what, fuck off.
It was the best. It was really
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, and it
man.
Was fun. And I think that was what was funny, because even just, like, as we started to get known and we started to be around people like that, like, bigger bands
yeah.
or like famous people or whatever. I just remember I had that. I told this story before about at the Viper Room, though. We were hanging out with all these celebrity people, and Bam's like, slow down with a drink. And I'm like, fuck those people. You know, like, yeah. And like, that was like my mentality, because yeah. I'm like, I don't give a shit, you know? Right. And like, it's like, so, well, what, you're better than me because you stand in front of a camera and make jokes or whatever? Like, get out of here. I couldn't fathom that shit, you know?
Right.
Like, being like a kid from a small town, it was like, nah, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
Nobody's better than anybody.
That's right.
That doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
And I, you know, it was just funny because obviously some people wanted to like impress them or this. And I'm like, ah, I'm not playing that shit.
Yeah,
I hate
those
that
guys.
Shit.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm a camera guy now, and I work in the film business. And I'll tell you what, some of the most successful actors or actresses or directors or producers,
yeah.
the very most successful ones are the coolest. And the ones
right.
that are like middle of the road who think they're somebody oh. are the ones that are just like so like it's like intolerable, like their ego and the way they act. And it's like, but nobody even knows you. You think you're more
yeah.
than you are. And then the big time ones are like, hey, man, how's it going? Yeah. yeah. Oh, cool. Thanks. Yeah. Good to see you. Like so friendly. And it's like, man, it's just funny how that works. But I just never like really got turned on by that thing, that celebrity thing. And it was just fun to fuck with it.
Yeah. Right.
Because it was like, oh, you guys are the cool kids in high school. Fuck off. Cause yeah. I you know, like I always had that mentality
right.
even when we were in the actual
yeah.
high school, it was like the cool kids, like I'm going to go fuck with them. Like instead of like other people, it was like the nerdy ones.
Yeah.
They mess with the nerdy ones. And you're like, nah, I want to protect the nerdy kids. I want to go fuck with the cool kids, you know? And then, so that's like when the celebrity thing came around,
yeah.
it sort of felt the same way.
Yeah.
But no, that's cool. So then, and then you guys, I mean, you opened up for Metallica too. And
oh,
that,
man.
That's fucking incredible.
It was, I could say that's probably one of my top five moments of my life. It was amazing. Cause
yeah.
I remember just like growing up, looking in a mirror with my friend, and we would just air guitar Master of Puppets from beginning to end, and we'd have sweatpants on our head, and we'd be rocking out.
Yeah.
I'm James Hetfield, you're Kirk Hammett.
Yeah, yeah, hell yeah.
And I never thought that we would actually like hang out with them, and it was awesome, and their show was crazy. I mean, I remember.
And that was in SF, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, when you guys did that.
I remember standing next to Darren when we were on the floor, and we're both like,
whoa,
like, this is, like so amazing. It was really
so
cool.
So were you nervous to like go out or like at all a little bit or
nah, I didn't give a fuck. I was like spitting fucking beer everywhere, and
yeah.
I saw like James up there laughing.
You're
like,
just
I didn't
doing your
care.
Thing.
No,
yeah,
I,
yeah.
It
was like
awesome.
You were already just so like it was just like, hey, they got us to come here because they like
yeah.
what we do.
Yeah, we're gonna do whatever.
Yeah,
just do what we
that's
do.
So cool. Yeah, that I mean that really is an incredible moment. You know, I grew up. Obviously, around the same time you
yeah.
did, and Metallica is, you know, the peak. So it's super cool to say like my friend's band, you know, open for those guys, and,
yeah.
and you also opened for Guns N' Roses, and there was
oh,
a
yeah.
there was a like riot. I was there in Philly with you.
Oh
guys.
Yeah, you were there,
and I remember. So what I remember happening is, like, you know, you and I, because you and I hung out a lot.
Yeah.
Obviously, Darren and Chad were kind of, they sort of kept to themselves a little bit. And like, Jess and you and me would really kind of connect and go grab beers after the show, before the show, whatever, and hang and kind of be partying. And I just feel like we're partying a little bit. And then, like, word gets back, like, hey, Axel's not going to come to the show tonight. And I was like, what? He's not coming? Fuck that. Because, like, I really wanted to see them and you guys open for him and do that. And I'm flipping out yelling, what do you mean Axel's not coming? And everyone's like, dude, shut up. Like, and I was like, fuck that. Like, and I was like yelling, like, he's not coming. Like, and you're like, yo, you got to shut the fuck up. Like, it's going to cause a problem. And, like, I just remember being such a loudmouth. And then they were like, okay, we got to get you guys out of here.
Yeah.
And they
the production company actually quit. They're like, you guys might want to get out of here. We quit. The band hasn't been here. They're still in New York from last night at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah. And you guys played the show because who was it? Mixmaster.
Mixmaster was still spinning after we actually played.
Yeah. So you guys played, then they're doing that, and the word comes that Axel's not showing up.
Oh my God. It's like 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 50 minutes into Mike's set. And Mike's awesome. Yeah. And people in Philly are just, oh shit.
Yeah.
And then they came back and said that. And I was like, oh no. And then we went out there, and those dudes were just throwing the chairs. Remember that?
They were
just chairs going up in the air.
It was insane, dude.
They ruined that Neve mixing board. They smashed a lighting rig.
They're destroying all the shit that was up there. And then they got us into, like, was it like, I think it was a limo or something. They got us, like, out the back into a spot to get away, because they were like, this riot was going nuts, and they had to, like, get us out of there.
And it's funny, we just went back to Westchester.
Exactly.
Okay, I guess the tour is over. There was still like half the tour left.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
And dude, you know what was funny? So this local bar that we would go to, Duffers. Yeah. So we go the next night. We go in, and I see this bartender guy there that I knew. And we go in, and he's got, like, this, like, stitches and this thing, like, over his nose. And I was like, oh, fuck, what happened to you? He goes, dude, I went to that show last night.
Oh, no
shit. The Guns N' Roses CKY thing. And he got hit in the fucking nose with a chair.
Oh.
And it broke his nose and split it open. He had to get stitches and get his, like, nose fixed.
And
he had this whole cover thing on his nose. Oh. I'm like, what fuck that happened? And he's like, dude, it was insane. I was out in the middle of the crowd while I was going, because we could see it from the side.
Oh, yeah.
And it looked fucking hell.
Yeah.
And you're just seeing shit flying onto the stage and flying everywhere. And it was like, oh, my God, dude. Like, and this dude got hit in his nose, split his nose open, broke his nose.
Poor dude. Oh, man.
Yeah, he got wild. Dude.
Yeah.
So we were there for a Guns N' Roses riot. That's pretty cool.
That was great. And then there was a riot at the beginning of that show too. The beginning of that tour in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Where nobody played. I remember being on stage. We were all sound checking, and nobody's in the venue. I'm like, this is strange. And they're like, the show tonight will be canceled. And then I remember going back, and Kurt Loder was in, like, the back room,
putting his
makeup on.
Yeah.
And somebody's like, yo, there's a riot outside. And everybody runs out, and there's, like, dudes throwing bricks through the glass of the building. There's people getting, like, hogtied and just shit going down. I'm like,
damn.
And I thought the tour was over there.
I love Kurt Loder's back there, like,
yeah. He's caking it on.
Yeah. But did he went out and got interviews or whatever,
I think we all lost track of everybody once we went outside because it was nuts. And I just was like, wow, we just beelined from like a show we were playing in like San Diego or something to make it up to Vancouver to hit this tour.
Yeah.
And now the tour is over without it even starting.
Damn, that's crazy.
Yeah. And then it did. It went on for a little while. And still hit Philly.
Yeah. That's funny, man.
Yeah, crazy times, man.
Dude, so wild. So, okay, so then you tour with them, you know, a ton, and then you ended up leaving the band and you went to the Eastern Conference Champions.
Yeah, that probably was I think right after I left, like 2004, went into Eastern Conference Champions right after. But it was me and my buddy Greg Lyons from Philly and Josh Ostrander, and then they had something going on and said, hey, do you want to come on in? And it's like, yeah, and just kind of did it. And those guys are really cool. They were in a band called LaGuardia, and
And then you guys got signed. Were you signed by
within a year?
Yeah,
we got signed by Geffen, and yeah. It was just like, I remember leaving CKY thinking, I don't want to do this anymore. I got a taste of the business, yeah. And I really hated it. It's an ugly.
Oh, it is.
Oh yes. So I got out, and then they offered us a deal that was just too good to turn down. So
yeah.
You know, I took the ride again. And you know, it was fun. And I still had my other band with my buddy Cheedy. Remember Cheedy?
Yeah, hell, how could I not, dude?
Cheedy no
Cheedy's
Feedy.
The man, dude. Yeah. Yeah.
John No Leg Wazamo.
Dude, Cheedy, fuck. That reminded me because I remember Cheedy, and there's this story where we were at Bam's parents' house. We were all drunk, I ended up, I feel like we had like fireworks, and we're shooting these off. I'm drunk, coked out of my mind. Cheedy's all messed up. So Cheedy is Vern's friend, for anybody who's listening. He got in this bad accident on a train and basically got electrocuted,
right.
And lost his the bottom parts of his legs.
Yeah, like right below the knee.
Below the knee, and he's got like basically this prosthetic, you know, legs or whatever, Cheedy no Feedy. And and so we're all partying. He's the man. He's so fucking rad. And I just loved hanging out with him, and I would just get excited when he would come around, and we were all drunk, partying, coked up, firecrackers and whatever, and he's like, Reb, hop on. So I jump on the back of a four-wheeler with a dude with no legs while we're all coked out of our mind, shooting fireworks off, riding around the fucking neighborhood at like 3 a.m.
Just
screaming and yelling and playing music loud, and that was just kind of the lifestyle that we were living. But it was rad. It's funny to hear about Cheedy, man.
Tell
him I said what's up when you see him.
Definitely. Well, he was the best, man. Like,
yeah,
that's a guy that something terrible happened to him, and it didn't change his, he's just like,
not at all,
get the legs off, I just want to play drums again. And he didn't lose like anything up here, which was, and we were like take him out on tour with us, and like his brothers from another, his band would open up, remember that? And he would say the funniest shit when people would be like, oh hey man, like how'd you lose your legs? He'd be like, you know, I was doing kickflips into a wood chipper and then and the kids are like, what?
And there they go. Dude, it's so good. It's such a positive like outlook too, you know. And I don't know if that's what happens like when you go through something like that. You know, it's either way. You know, you can go totally depressed, negative, whatever. Or
I think it's the individual.
Yeah, and he's just a positive,
right.
Like just a positive spirit, man. Just so rad to be around. And I always think of that though. That time, like I was like, this is how wild I was living. Just coked out of my mind, shooting fireworks off the back of a four wheeler with a dude with no legs driving. You know. And I'm hanging off the back like, man. Yeah.
He's the best. I used to take his drum leg and drink beer out of it on stage.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, take it, just start. I was playing bass with it. We just had a blast.
Dude, so cool. So, okay, so you were still in, were you in Brothers from Another?
No, I was in Wet Slit, which was me and my buddy Ryan from my other bands and Cheedy. While we were doing everything, and then at Eastern Conference too. But then we got signed and we started doing stuff. It was cool. Like,
yeah.
Play for like, we opened up for Black Francis, Frank Black.
Yeah,
which
hell
awesome,
yeah.
Awesome, man. Like,
hell yeah. I fucking love that.
Oh,
dude.
Man.
Yeah.
I love him too.
Yeah.
It was a really cool tour. And, other than that, you know, it's just kind of didn't do that
so
much.
So you toured with them for a while, signed by Geffen. You guys did an album or?
Yeah, we did an album for Geffen Ameritown. It was cool, man. Mm-hmm. We did it on a mountaintop at Alaire Studios. It's not there anymore, but it's the mountain next to like Woodstock.
Oh, hell yeah.
And like David Bowie owned the mountain next to it.
Damn.
The mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So damn, that's cool. Really cool.
So we were there for like 2 months, just did it there. I think My Morning Jacket did Z there.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, it was like really, really awesome. And,
dude, that's a cool experience. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really, really fun time, and it was haunted, and there was like weird shit going on there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of good spirits and goblins. And
oh, yeah, lots of stuff. Bears running around, like anemic bears looking for food.
Yeah, dude, that's crazy. Yeah. So, cool. So and then you toured with them for a little while. And playing with Wet Slit.
yeah, we did the Wet Slit. That was like dear to my heart. I love those guys.
Yeah.
But did the Eastern Conference, and then, you know, just was doing it and doing it and doing it. And there was a time where we the label just wouldn't listen to it. You know, it was the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you're giving us all this money. Let's do the record ourselves. Pre-record it. We got a Pro Tools rig. Let's do it. They're like, nah, we want you to spend all this money you don't need to spend with a producer you don't need to have. And then, yeah, that's the way it's going to work. It's like,
oh, cool. You want us in debt so you can control us. Oh, sounds familiar.
Yeah, thanks. So we renegotiated, and then those guys were living in L.A., and I didn't want to go out there.
Yeah.
Because I was already out there. I was like, nah.
Yeah, I've already done this. Yeah. I've already kind of lived that life. And
yeah.
And then at that point, you were kind of like, all right, cool. You still play. You just play for fun kind of deal? Or?
Yeah, not too much now. I did play with the CKY boys like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, they asked me to come out. And that was like probably the last time. But like, yeah, you know, the kids around and everything now. I'm just not interested. I did that. I look back on it with the fondest memories.
Yeah.
I'm glad I did it. I don't regret anything, but I'm glad I moved on. And, you know, it just doesn't make me feel the same way. I know it's weird.
It's totally understandable.
I've tried, and it doesn't, it's almost like it's forced. It's not that organic feeling I used to feel. And I don't want to do something if I'm not going to feel that, because it was so magical back then. But when I played with those guys, and we did Bite It at like Warped Tour and stuff.
Yeah.
It was organic and it was fun, and I didn't think about it.
Yeah.
And it was just cool to see those dudes again and like hang out. And
yeah, that's so rad. Because I mean, you bring up like a really good point with that. I think just the idea of it, like it feeling natural and feeling like it's not forced, because that happened with me a lot with the Jackass stuff. And people would always ask, like, well, why didn't you do the second one? Like, are you and Bam, you know, what happened there? Like, I've heard the most insane things. Like, I think Rab had sex with April. And then that's why I was like, gee, that's
disgusting.
Yeah, I heard
that too.
She's like
true,
my
right?
mom. Yeah, yeah. yeah. But all these idiots write these things of like, oh, this and that. And like, you know, and I think the people that know that, like, dude, it just didn't feel right anymore.
Right.
And I didn't do the second movie, didn't do the third movie, because it didn't feel like the thing I wanted to do, you know? And it was hard for people to want to hear that, because they were going, well, we just want to see Rab being Rab, some maniac and shitting on things and whatever. And like, that stuff's still hilarious to me. It's not that it's not, but I also like, I don't know. I just kind of like outgrew it in a way of like, I'm just not interested in that. Like I want to go in another direction creatively. And it's hard, because I think people don't like realize that, like when you're kind of coming up, you're doing a natural thing and you're having a great time, and then it becomes this business, and then you become a product to somebody, and then they want you to do it the way they want you to do it, but don't realize that, hey, the reason why people like it is because we did it the way we wanted to do it from the beginning, and then now we're doing it the way someone else wants us to do it, and it's just becoming forced, and like you were saying, and it just doesn't feel like the magical thing that it felt at that time, and so then it's like, all right, I'm not interested. I'm going to go do these little skits with Brandon, and I'm going to go do these other little things that I want to do because that's fun to do. And then people go, oh, well, why are you this? You know, and it's like, either way.
They'll never understand, because
they're not
in our perspective. They're not seeing it. They're seeing it from an outside perspective. Like,
right.
They're like watching you on a screen, and they don't see anything behind the scenes.
Yeah, like, why wouldn't you want to keep on doing that? And it's like, well, I mean, after a long period of time of it, it doesn't feel the same way. It feels the forced feeling. And then, and you just kind of evolve creatively and want to go in a different direction. And it's hard to do that once, like, people know you for a certain thing. And I kept saying that. I'm like, dude, we've been filming skits since we were 10 years old. Like, this wasn't anything different. I'm just filming skits again, and I just want to do that. Instead of like trying to forcefully do what they think we should do, you know, and so, you know, I'm just rambling on about that shit, and maybe I sound like, wah, poor me. But like at the same time, I just felt like, you know, I wanted to go that direction, and it was difficult to do it. And I think because when we were young, you're doing that stuff, no one knew who we were. Nobody cared what you were doing. And then now when you're trying to go into the directions you're going, people are going, just shit on something, Rab. Like, all right. You know,
Sparty!
Yeah, Sparty! but I totally fucking get what you're saying. It's, yeah. In terms of like the music, like if it isn't like a natural flow and you're not psyched on right. it like you were, then you kind of put it down for a while and like, you know, you're a young guy still and like you're super talented and like you said, starting with saxophone and you know, you play all different instruments and when it's time, that stuff pops up again and it becomes a thing for you and then you know and then it becomes a natural fun
yeah.
escape like it was to begin with.
Life is such a weird canvas and I you know I like to not plan on what I'm gonna paint
right
just,
right
yeah and that's what I was like growing up just like I don't know what I'm gonna do I'm just right. gonna do this
yeah
because I like it and
yeah dude that's such a great way to look at it like I think it's just like a good metaphor for it because yeah it does then become okay, now I'm in Eastern Conference champions, and now I know this thing, signed to the big label. Okay, mm-hmm. they want me to do this. And you already know it, and it becomes like this planned out thing, and like we've got to hit these numbers, we got to do this, right. we got to do that. And it's just like, ugh, you really took away from the fun of yeah. this. You know?
There was like,
yeah.
There was like 30 minutes per day that I felt good, and it was on stage. And that was it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh. And it just cascaded downhill immediately after. It was like, yeah. And then I was like, I can't do this anymore. It's
yeah.
crazy.
And I think like, and that's kind of like the same thing that happened with me. It was like, oh, I'm just your monkey now. I got to go do the Jackass thing. And right. so I started going into writing and directing little short films and doing that stuff. And I love it now. And it is like another avenue. I'm a camera guy for my day job, but I am still writing a lot of like scripts and stuff like that and trying to make little short films. I just made another little one. I actually shot it years ago and I finally edited it. It's
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's one with Darren Miller's little brother, actually.
Oh, with Aaron?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And dude, he did an amazing performance and nice. I'll have to show it to you
oh,
later
yeah,
while
yeah.
we're hanging but I'm just doing little things like that because I still have the need to create something, you know, and
right.
and it's in me, but it might not be the same as what was when I was 20, but it's there's still something in there, you know, and I realize that, and so I just keep kind of doing it.
Yeah, you're a creative human being, and you're progressing, and you look really yeah. happy, man. You look happy doing it.
Thanks, brother. Yeah, you look good too, man.
Oh,
well, I, dude, it's been awesome chatting, and we're hungry. Both of us are hungry.
Oh my god,
and
I'm so hungry.
Yeah, let's go have a meal together and catch up some more and thanks for coming on the Bathroom Break
You're
podcast.
You're very welcome, buddy.
You're Vern Zaborowski on Instagram, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And then Eastern Conference Champions and CKY. Check out some of his music if you don't already know it, which I'm sure you do. But dude, good hanging, good chatting.
You're so good hanging.
Yeah, let's go eat.
Let's go get some food.
Hell yeah. Awesome.